Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. The forecast for today going to be mainly sunny. We'll have a high only, though, in the low 40s. Kenosha right now is at 31 degrees. It's 29 in Burlington, Milwaukee 32, 31 at this hour in Racine. It's been months since Lynn Rickard left her Kansasville area home and disappeared. Efforts to determine her fate have continued. The search is going to be resuming later today. Details from WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Several large-scale searches were conducted after Rickard left her home early in the morning, June 25th, and vanished. Those searches included the area near her home and in Kenosha County. Multiple fire and emergency medical resources throughout the region assisted, along with Wisconsin Emergency Management, the Civil Air Patrol, Wisconsin State Patrol, and Flight for Life, along with many volunteers. In a statement, Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmeling said at this time of the year, foliage is reduced, crops have been cultivated, and so visibility is greater. He said his office remains committed to bringing closure to Lynn Rickard's family. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
It was just a few days early, but the Village of Pleasant Prairie held its 10th annual Veterans Day ceremony next to the pavilion at Prairie Springs Park. Village President John Steinbrink noting the history of Veterans Day goes back to the end of World War I, close to about 100 years ago, says we are reminded of our solemn obligation to serve our veterans as well as they have and continue to serve us. Chaplain Stephen Thompson made reference to Corporal Donald Bauer's remains coming back to Racine this week after having been identified just 4 months ago from his service in the Korean War.
Let's remember the uncounted, which you call missing in action. Those are held or presently being held as prisoner of war. Let us remember Corporal Donald Laverne Barr and his family who died during the Korean War, and now his remains have been identified and returned to Racine and will be buried this week.
Army Reservist Tom Vicentainer focused attention on the glass-enclosed POW MIA table and all that it symbolizes.
All of you who served with them and call them comrades, who depended upon their might and aid and relied upon them, for surely they have not forsaken you. Remember, let us pray to the Supreme Commander that all of our comrades will soon be back within our ranks. Let us remember and never forget their sacrifice. May God forever watch over them and protect them and their families.
VFW Post 7308, also recognized by the Village for being named Wisconsin's All-State Team VFW Post for the seventh straight year. With the work going on even as the ceremony was taking place, a ribbon cutting was held yesterday at the James A. Peterson Veterans Village, the tiny houses facility for homeless vets on the north side of Racine. The man behind the project, Jeff Gustin, said he was thrilled that it was finally opening, but said it was a sad time as well.
Veteran and homeless, I don't understand why it's in the same sentence. And with your help and support, we're going to try to eliminate that here in southeastern Wisconsin. Hopefully it'll catch on, and we can eliminate that nationwide.
Former Mayor John Dickert on hand, getting a little emotional as he talked about the effort that led to yesterday's ceremony, saying that it should be what people can do, and it showed them that they all get together, there's a common goal, things can get done.
Remember the van that pulled in, the semi with all the wood? People from Illinois come in, sign their names to each piece of wood. This is what we can do. And they deserve it.
State Veterans Affairs Secretary Daniel Zimmerman noting much of the work that's done for veterans is accomplished by volunteers, not the government. 5 of the 15 tiny houses have been completed. The finishing work is underway on 10 more. And the Kenosha City Council meeting tonight will, at the beginning of it, include a little recognition for some Korean War veterans. Chester Hawes and Berger Rasmussen were chosen by the city's Hometown Heroes Commission that identifies men and women from Kenosha who have served or are currently serving. Hawes was in the Army from 1951 through 54. Rasmussen also in the Army for about 18 months, beginning in late 51. Tomorrow night, the Racine Common Council's meeting includes, of course, the swearing-in of Mayor-elect Corey Mason after some comments, and then he gets to sit in the chair for the rest of the business meeting, and he'll be in charge. He's observed that from the gallery in the past. Might be a little different sitting in the chair for the first time out. The schedule tomorrow night does include dealing with the 2018 budgets. Now, right after Mayor Mason does get seated, the council has a couple of communications regarding the reappointment of Dennis Weiser as the alderman of the 10th District for the rest of that term until next spring, and that he also be reinstated as council president for the same duration. Alderman Q.A. Shakur took over as council president when Weiser was named the interim mayor this past summer. Caledonia Village Board, regular business meeting, 7 o'clock tonight. There are 12 resolutions of various issues on the agenda, but the big item of interest is who's going to get chosen as the village president to replace Bob Bradley, who's stepping down. Will it be trustee Kevin Wongard or trustee Jim Dobbs? A little dispute between Racine and Sturtevant over who's going to pay for a municipal bus service to the IMET Technology Center had to be have renewed talks about the pros and cons of regional transportation authorities. State law prohibits regions from forming their own authorities with the taxing power in order to coordinate and fund the services. There was an unsuccessful effort to try to reverse the prohibition made with a debate on the Foxconn incentives package. Republicans, of course, control both houses of the legislature. And Speaker Robin Voss is kind of throwing cold water on thoughts of maybe taking a second look at RTA legislation.
I think the first thing that has to happen is local elected officials need to figure out how to work together with the existing structure before we create a whole new bureaucracy with taxing authority and unelected, unaccountable representatives.
Democratic Representative Peter Barker from Kenosha suggesting that a renewed debate on that matter should take place. Kenosha's primary homeless shelter, the Shalom Center. It's a remarkable statistic, according to the director, Lynn Bees Carroll. 70% of the single men and women who stay there either work full or part-time jobs. She says it's a situation that's grown especially since they moved into their new digs on 39th Avenue a few months back. The INS program, that system of housing the homeless in church basements at night, came to an end with that. Carroll says that it's a problem for a lot of people these days.
We have second and third shift people working and a place for them to sleep, which we've never had before. So it allows people to really get into the work system a little bit better, and therefore they're staying longer. We have the showers and the laundry facility, so it makes for a more accommodating beginning spot.
She also noted with the new facilities opening, there's been an increase in the number of women checking into that shelter. Coming up before the Kenosha City Council meeting at 7 o'clock tonight, the Board of Parks Commissioners will be holding a special meeting. One item, nearly $78,000 recently transferred from the contingency fund over to the parks budget to buy an ice rink with a cooling system. Question is, where do you put it? Recommendation is for Veterans Park, east of the municipal building. The second item that's of interest, Bill Burling wants to donate funds to buy and install a trash receptacle at Kennedy Park as a memorial to his German Shepherd, Titan. His letter to the commission says that he and Titan enjoyed walks daily in the park for nearly 13 years, picked up trash and made a lot of friends. The city staff has recommended that donation be accepted. And the Christmas trees are now in place. City of Racine's officially arrived downtown at Monument Square yesterday after a trip from the property of Monica and Charles Kreplin over on Russet Street. In Kenosha, the city's Christmas tree got placed outside the public museum downtown at the start of the weekend. It's not going to be lit up until Friday after Thanksgiving. Of course, Racine's Christmas tree lighting ceremony will follow the Christmas parade this coming Saturday evening. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.